Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He truly is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. God has a good plan in place. He is mightily moving by His Spirit. There are people that He is saving, and He's going to raise up to do greater works, the like which you may have never seen. And I thank God for it. God always had a plan. If you study the Word of God from cover to cover, the Lord always had a plan because He always acts on His great love. Last broadcast, we talked about how different God's love is from a common man's love. And He always acted on His love towards man. And He always put a plan in place that Satan couldn't figure out. It was beyond men. It was beyond Satan, who said he was going to take over heaven. But he could never surpass the plan of God that He put in place by His love. So when the Holy Spirit guides you in life, He's guiding you according to the love of the Father. He's guiding you into a plan that's going to salvage many people, that's going to be a blessing to many people. And it's beyond what man can come up with. It's beyond what Satan can come up with. It's far beyond tradition. So when you seek the heart of God, when you seek His face, when you look into Him, your eye is single. And last broadcast, we showed how it's so important to have a single eye before God, to look to Him. And the enemy uses everything he can come up with to distract you from seeing God. And if he succeeds, you will yield and fall, or you will fail and not be able to finish the work that God has given you. Many times ministries get to a point that it's big to man, but it's not what God was after. You can be distracted by success just like you're distracted by failures and disappointments. Paul put it this way. He said, I know how to do all things. He said, I can do all things through Christ. Whether he was in need or in abundance. Because his eye was single. When you have lack, look to God. And most people do that because they want to succeed. But when they succeed, or when they get to a point that's impressive to men, they start looking at the success and start trying to manage it. And they don't proceed forward. But the Holy Spirit has something much greater in mind. And the only way to get there, you got to use your faith. You're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to believe Him. You're going to have to take Him at His written word. And you're going to have to believe and receive the guidance of His spoken word by the Holy Spirit to you. If you can do that with a single eye, you can get to the point where God wants you to get to, which is far greater than what man could expect. Now, the enemy is preeminent. He loves preeminence. He wants to be the best looking, most intelligent, smartest guy in the room. He wants to be the smartest guy in heaven, but he cannot overcome the wisdom of God, the love of God, the plan of God. So instead of God destroying Satan by himself, because he was vastly outclassed, he made man out of the dust of the earth. See, before God made man, he made angels. They're taller in stature, they're much more wiser, and they have the knowledge of God. They're compared to us, you know, we're outclassed. But the Lord is doing a work through men made from the dust of the earth to do a work that's going to destroy the works of darkness. All of it. In Daniel chapter 9, there will be an end to sin. See, the Lord is doing a work that nobody can deny. As bad as they want to, they can't deny it. Now, last, we're still dealing with end times. But like we said, end times, you have to know how to live in the end time. It's not just about the days of revelation, the days of tribulation, when the earth is going to be destroyed and changed and handed over to Christ. We got to know how to live now. We got to know how to do warfare. We got to know how to win. And the way you do it is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. We're focusing on one verse. Matthew 6 and verse 22, it says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." If you're looking to the Lord, and you're making your decisions by his word, by his insight, by his wisdom, and you mean it, you're sincere. See, faith is the highest form of sincerity, because faith, it takes God at his word and acts on it. Faith takes God at his word and acts on it. Faith looks to God. One time the Lord said this to me. He said, "Faith looks to God, pride looks within, and fear looks to man." Now, we ended last broadcast talking about fear. Anytime that you're in fear, Satan is involved in your situation. Wherever your fear is, that's where he's involved. If you have fear in your marriage, Satan's involved in your marriage. As long as you have fear, he's attached to it. Same thing with lust. If you have lust in your life, Satan's attached to that. It's there to cause you. He uses lust as a tool to get you into rebellion. And the drive is to get you at odds with God. On purpose. He tried to get Job to curse God to his face. Now, we all share that fight that Job had with Satan. He's still trying to persuade us against God on purpose. So fear involves Satan in your situations. In ministry, if you have fear in your ministry, Satan's involved in your ministry. If you have fear in your success, fear in your business, Satan's involved in your success and he's involved in your business. If you're afraid that it won't fail and you speak it or act on it, you cause it to be what you said. You cause it to be according to your fear. The easy thing to do is don't fear, because fear never came from God. Now, men get in pride, so everybody that get in pride, they automatically get in fear. I'll put it this way. Those who walk in love, they also walk in faith. See, faith is an agent of love, just like fear is an agent of pride. So people who get in pride, they automatically get in fear, and they use fear tactics. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord never uses fear tactics on people, even though he made hell, and he talk about hell, he warned us not to go. Hell is not a fear tactic, it's a reality. The love of God don't change. He doesn't do fear. He told Adam, "The day you eat of this fruit, you should surely die." So, if you get in, those who are in pride, they always get in fear, and they use fear tactics. God don't. It's easy to win in this life. Your fight with Satan is an easy fight, because God gave you authority over it. A cakewalk, a kindergarten cakewalk, is harder than winning a fight against Satan. I'll say it again. A kindergarten cakewalk or a first grade cakewalk is harder than having victory over Satan. It's easier to beat up Satan and stop his works wherever you want to in the world. A cakewalk is harder than that. So having victory over, if you're a Christian, having victory over Satan is easier than any cakewalk. If you submit your whole life to God with a single eye. See, Jesus bore the cross, but he won in Gethsemane. He submitted his whole will to God's will. He wrote God a blank check. He said, "Yes, Lord, not my will, thy will be done." If you can do that, defeating Satan is easier than any cakewalk. But you can't do it with a double eye. You can't do it looking at the world. You can't do it in fear. You can't do it in lust. You have to do it God's way. And you have to do it on purpose. Now, last week we ended the broadcast, the part that's on the website. These broadcasts are 30 minutes long. On the website, it's 30 minutes long. They only played the first 15 minutes on the radio. Many people want more time. That's one way we could do it until we get more revenue to do a longer broadcast. But go to newlivingletters.com. But we ended the website portion dealing with the fact that you can overcome your fears and overcome everything that's against the wisdom of God in your life. But first you have to submit your life to the Lord. And if you can do that, it's easy to win against Satan every time. Now, the Lord loves us. That's why he gave us authority in the first place. Submitting your life to the Lord is up to you. If you can do that, winning against Satan is easy. And God doesn't use fear tactics, so we shouldn't either. Jesus once said in Luke, I think it's Luke 12, if you don't build with me, you scatter. And when people don't build with God, when they don't follow God, when they don't have a single eye, they can't follow the Holy Spirit the same, and they end up scattering the church, and it causes problems. But when you look to the Lord, no matter what's going on, look to him, use his wisdom. Regard what he said in the word and make your final decisions based on the word. Not the council, not the deacons, not others, not those you trust, not those who have blessed you in the past. Look to him. If you're looking to him, regarding him, he will cause everybody that he wants to use to say what you need at the perfect time, to fan the flames of your dedication. Now, we ended that last broadcast talking about how a lot of people like to study. You know, we study to preach, we study to live. Just study to live. And when God give you a message, study that so that you can live it and minister it. Always put living first. Because you got to have enough word in your heart to withstand the wiles of Satan. You got to have enough word in your heart so that you will be encouraged and motivated to do what God said do. And then you got to have enough word to withstand the influences that are out there in the world that are negative. And also you have to have enough word to do combat and protect your dedication. Your submission, when you finally make your will God's will, when you finally hand your will to God and receive his will, that's a dedication that Satan can't deal with. It defeats him every time. See, James said, first submit yourself to God, resist the enemy, and he'll flee from you. He's running from you. And when he's running from you, don't get caught up in that. Because Jesus said, Don't rejoice because you have victory over the devil, because the devil's running from you. Rejoice because your name is written in there. Stay focused. Stay single eyed to God. Keeping his will first in your life. And that's how you're going to win. That's when you can receive the wisdom. You have to live by the peace of God. You have to use that peace like a tool. When you're in peace with him, no matter what storm is around you, how things look, you're looking at him, you can easily receive wisdom that's going to help you succeed, that's going to bless you to win, that's going to help you live. And you don't have to do crooked things. You don't have to do deceitful things. You don't have to use fear tactics. And you don't have to act on fear and lust and worry and strife. See, strife, that's Satan's secret weapon. If he can get you in strife, every evil work follows strife. And it causes a bondage in your life that's hard to break. But when you have an eye towards God and you're looking to him, you can truly go forward. And it's an easier way to live, better way to live. Now, a lot of people have struggles. They let their eye drift. And one thing that the enemy uses to get you, he's trying to get you in pride. If he can get you in pride, then you like him. And you start using fear tactics and doing secret things and hiding. If you're hiding, you're wrong. Anything you got to hide is just wrong. I'm not talking about discretion. Sometimes it's not good to say what your plans. It's not that you're hiding. You're doing the plan of God. But to keep down on confusion and attacks, you don't have to tell people everything you're doing. But when you're hiding something, trying to keep it from being revealed because it's wrong, it's just wrong. A lot of people struggle with divisions. Instead of their eye being single, they're looking at God and they're looking somewhere in the world for something. One problem is lust. Anytime you give place to Satan, he's going to use it against you. And some people say, well, I rebuke the enemy and he always run. Okay. Is your life subject to God? Are you doing what God said, or are you doing something else? Well, you know, I do this over here, but God, I still have victory over Satan. All right. I'm going to tell you something that I learned from James Robinson. A great man of God. He comes on TV now. Now, earlier years, I had a tape, a cassette tape. So that tell you it was a long time ago. And back in the 80s, when Jimmy Swaggart fell and Jim Baker, they got in sin, they failed. And I'm not proud of that. It happens. He went through a struggle as well. He took a turn and he kept preaching. And he knew he wasn't right with God. And he had a church meeting somewhere. I don't know if it was at his church or where. But it was like a landslide event. He said, Lord, and he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, why did you move in that service like that? And you know I'm not right with you. Now, he knew he was wrong. He knew that he had been doing wrong things. And he had a struggle with women at that time. Because he told about it. I'm not just trying to say something about him. I love him. But he said something that really helped me. I wouldn't have known what I know now like I do if it wasn't for him and what he said. He asked, he said, Lord, why did you move in that service like that? And you knew that I'm not right with you. He said, and the Lord, this is what the Lord answered. He said, Satan's fooling you, boy. He said, when the people come to church to mimic a move of God, Satan, he has his demons to withdraw themselves so the people are free to worship God. and it looks like it's a great move of God. Because he was in sin. Sin is entrapment. If you wonder, if you drift into it, it starts. You ever seen a bug get caught in a spider's web and that spider wrap him up to where you can't see nothing but white web? You know that that bug will never get out of that spider's web. He wrapped up so tight, he know he finna get ate. He's gonna get the blood sucked out of him. Unless somebody rescue him and cut that web off, he is spider dinner. Same thing when you drift into sin. Even though you have authority over Satan, your authority don't work in disobedience. And I learned something from James Robinson. And it was good. You know what I mean? He said, Satan's fooling you, boy. When the people come, he just withdraw himself to keep him fooled as if he's with God and what he's doing is okay. And then he wanted to be free from it, but he couldn't get free from it. He wanted to. And the Lord had a man to pray for him and break that yoke of bondage, that yoke of lust. And he's been free ever since. Now, in my life, I learned something from Satan. When he's tempting you, he does it systematically. If he give you a thought and you don't deal with it, he'll leave you alone and the thought's still growing. And at the perfect time, when he thinks you're weak enough, he'll do something to make you angry to get you off balance. And then he'll surprise you with the temptation so that you'll fall. And there's no word left, or there's not enough word left for you to do combat with, and you end up falling. And he tried that with me. And I was weak. I was upset. Then he tempted me. And I was able to run because the Lord made a way of escape. And I didn't see him. And I thought about it. And I prayed about it. And I asked God for wisdom. And I saw what he had done to me. And then I learned how to combat him. I remember when I first got called to the ministry, when the Lord would give me a message, I felt like it was a child's holiday or Christmas morning. I couldn't wait to preach that word, and that word had a mission. It wanted to be preached. It was like fire shut up in my bones. But by the time I preached, see, people would ask me to come and preach. It may be 3 weeks away. When that day come, I had to read my notes to preach. My spirit man was empty. This went on for a couple of years, I guess. I said, Lord, why is it that when you give me a message, I feel that word, if I can preach it right then, it'll be good. But by the time I get ready to preach, 2 or 3 weeks later, I have to read it off the paper. He said, the enemy is siphoning the word out of your heart. And he does it with distractions. During those days, everything that you can think of will go wrong. I was working in my own business. I would get the wrong parts. I had to go all over town to get the correct parts. It interfered with how I made money. Sometimes people didn't pay me. Sometimes women would flirt. People would get upset. All kinds of stuff would go wrong. By the time I got ready to preach, I'd be empty. So, I start taking authority over Satan. I said, Satan, you can't steal the word out of my heart. And when things went wrong, I didn't look at them. I looked at the Lord. I stayed in the love of God. I prayed for people that were weak and contrary. And I made sure that I kept studying the scriptures God gave me. He wanted me to minister. Now, years later, he did something else. He had me to read 5 chapters in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, and 5 at night. And then he started guiding me what to read so that I'd be prepared for whatever was going to happen in my life. See, we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit, but if you're too distracted, you won't listen to him. You'll think you're too busy. I made time to do God's word. I studied, before I left the house, I read 5. And I usually didn't read in the middle of the day. I would come home and I'd be so tired from working. I would walk around in the living room reading. I would read those 10 chapters standing up walking around because I was too sleepy to sit down and read them. Now, over time, things got better. I got wise. I did things better. And it was easier for me to read those chapters. But after about 3 months, I went in worship and I was worshiping God. And he told me something. And I said, Lord, don't go nowhere. I got questions I want to ask. Now, this was the first time I was in his presence. I could feel his presence. And I had the composure to ask the intelligent questions I wanted to ask. And he started dialoguing with me. So it became easier for me to hear God because I obeyed him. And I still do. In other words, it's easier to obey God. You got to have enough word in you so that you can live in this life and do the things you want to do. And you have to have enough to combat the wiles of the devil and the influences that are out there from your family, your friends, just everyday life, people that are weak. You have to have enough word so that you can be ready at any time for whatever. And you have to have enough word to do combat. And then fighting Satan is easier than any cakewalk. But if your heart is divided, it's not. A lot of people say, well, I'm anointed. And God is moving in the ministry. And the ministry is huge. So they're getting money. They don't really have to believe for it anymore. It's coming in. And what happens next? If your eye is not single, you get relaxed. They're starting to sink in sand. Even though money's coming in, it's a big ministry now and people are coming. If you stop looking unto the Lord, you finna fail. Or you're gonna be stagnant, which is a stage of backsliding. You have to continue looking to the Lord, and it's better. I love my fellowship with the Lord. It's not labor to me now. When I say study and pray, that's like saying, let's go to the amusement park because I'm on fire for the Lord. If somebody said, let's go pray, that's like saying, let's go ride the roller coaster. It's fun to me. I pray all the time. In fact, I walk around talking to when nobody's around, I just ask the Lord questions and dialogue with him. Now, whenever he brings something to me, I listen, I receive it. And after that's done, if I'm curious about something, I just ask the Lord. And me and him just fellowship. It's fun. I don't worry about my ministry. I don't worry about nobody. Because I know God loves everybody. I try to get people to the point where they are trusting. And then he can do them some good. So I don't sit up and worry about people. I just consider, how can I help? How quick can I do to help people understand them better? And then he fill in the blanks. He showed me my part, and I do it. I'm glad to do it. But he don't want people looking to me instead of looking to him. Now, Paul put it this way. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's all I want. In fact, I hope everybody do a better job than me. I'm not jealous when other ministers do something better. I want them to. But it's not always the case in churches, especially when people get drifting into pride. They start using fear tactics and they'll do like Diotrephes did John. They don't want him around. We'll talk about that later. Now, God loves us and he has a perfect plan for all of us. But to get there, you have to have a single eye. You have to be sincere toward him. You have to be sincere when you say, Lord, take my life and do something with it. You have to be sincere when you say, not my will, thy will be done in my life. I will do what you say. If you can write God a blank check with your life and actions, you'll see what the old preacher talking about. And it's going to be good. And it's not going to look good along the way. But as long as you're doing what you say, you're part of a greater plan that's working, that's defeating Satan in every condition. If your eye is single, you're winning. If your eye is divided, you're losing.